such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for joining us here. It is Brain Wrinkling Time, a Wednesday with Father Coys. And wow. Indeed.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, I haven't yet. I haven't said anything yet, but I will be. We need to find out. You will be wrinkling my brain, that clip. Anyways, God bless you for joining us. It's a Wednesday afternoon. And I'm going to throw out a strange kind of topic. Let's see if we could dive into these mysteries a bit. Once again, if you get my flock notes, I send out a little blurb about the topic, and if you get it, it may have been an intriguing, I hope it was an intriguing topic. If you don't get those, you can certainly please send me an email at unlikeothernations@gmail.com, unlikeothernations@gmail.com, all three words, no spaces. And I'll put you on the list. There are other ways. I got to figure out how to just send out. You can text St. James at SAG, I think is what it is. But I don't have the number handy. But anyways, I shouldn't have brought that up since I didn't have all the details. So, but sending an email to me, I'd put you on the list. And the topic that I want to wrestle with you today is something like this. Why are some non-Catholics having a greater influence on bringing ex-Catholics back to the church than many professional evangelists? I'll put it in that category. And who are the non-Catholics that I think are having an effect on bringing Catholics back to church? I'm going to use two. One you've heard me mention a number of times before, and that is Dennis Prager, who is a non-Catholic. He's Jewish, and he admits it right readily on all his shows. And yet people listening to him find a reawakening of faith, and he often will say, it's perhaps best to return to the religion of your youth. If you find religious awakening coming into your mind and heart, first recheck the religion of your youth. And for a Catholic who was raised Catholic and fallen away, will hear that and say, okay, well, instead of trying to join a Jewish synagogue because the person who's inspiring me is Jewish, I'll go back to the religion of my youth, that being Catholic. Yeah, by the way, too, many of evangelical Protestants have called in his show and said the same thing. I just closed my eyes and was thinking of a profound thought. I opened them, and lo and behold, we have Tony with us here. And therefore...
Sorry, Father, I'm a little late.
There we are. Well,
but I didn't want to scare you. I saw you were looking down. I was afraid that you were going to look up and boom.
it's the wildlife.
Where'd those new guys come from?
Radio. Yeah, look how many can fit in this little room.
Really?
It's incredible. Tony, you may or may not have gotten my topic for today. So I'll repeat it for you and anybody else who maybe just tuned in a little bit late. I'm wondering about this question. I'm wondering about this. It's a phenomenon. I'll put it that way.
It's always good to start with a question.
Yeah, and I'll try to share the phenomenon that I'm seeing. Bring in some philosophical terms.
Phenomenon, that's what I'm here for.
Phenomenon is a very philosophical term.
Do, do, do.
Yes. And it should be well used and well appreciated because it really means what is perceived. The phenomenon is what you perceive. Now, of course, what you perceive may be multi-layered. It might be a mystery. It might be as plain as the nose on my face. Notice I said my face, not your face, because if you're trying to see the nose on your face, it's not very easy to see your own nose.
Get cross-eyed a little bit.
That's right, unless you're looking in a mirror. And then you have to wonder, is the mirror trustworthy?
Right. Wow.
Okay, I'm getting far off.
No, my brain is just wrinkled.
we're starting to get deep here. But the question that I want to explore is, why are... it seems to me that there's a number of non-Catholics that are having more success at bringing ex-Catholics back to church than a number of professional evangelists.
Now it comes to me, that flock note.
yeah, so I'm trying. First of all, this is a perception of mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perception because I've heard it on a number of occasions with real people. People that are back from non-practicing. I'll just say. Okay. Those who stopped going to church, for one, and are now going back to church. Okay? That's a definition of someone who comes back to church.
But good definition.
It's a good definition. But there's another definition that there's another phenomenon.
Do, 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 do.
There's another phenomenon. I'm perceiving something else that doesn't fit that quaint little definition that I just shared with you. That is, those people who haven't stopped going to church, they have been going to church all along. But in their mind, they've fallen away.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You just wrinkled my brain.
In their mind, they have lessened their attachment.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Guy's sleeping.
You
he's fired.
Wrinkled my brain, man.
There it is. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot more of these. And, gosh, if you're listening, I'm going to say this. It's happened to me.
Oh no!
This is why I could say it's something that can really happen, because I never stopped going to church. As a matter of fact, being a priest,
you can't.
It's your job, you know. And isn't this a sad little twist that it could happen to anyone? And in different jobs, you can certainly keep showing up for your job, but
not be there.
Not be there. You're not as into the job as you were somewhere along the line. And some jobs, of course, are more robotic, I guess you could say. You know, you go to your work, you do the task at hand, and it doesn't ask you to be real spiritually involved in your job. But I don't know. But there's a lot of jobs where it's not just robotic. You do have to be spiritually involved in your job, you know. You start, I never even, maybe that's an interesting question for you. How does that approach in your line of work?
Yeah, so I'm just sitting there thinking.
do you fit in there somewhere?
I think it happens to a lot of people, but it's more, for me, it's more interesting that we would say this about a priest who...
It's more scary.
Right, it is more scary, but... It's something to think about. And I think it's like with anything, you have to be dedicated or rededicated every day. And I think in the you know, the example of you being, I would think your congregation or the people you, you know, associate with would be, in a way, bringing you up too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well,
you would
think. Appreciate you saying that, but Ed, a congregation can bring you down as much as it can bring you up. You know, I really appreciate more the title that the church gives to us in the priesthood as the church is your bride. Yeah. You are, the church is your spouse.
Right. And we can't just throw away our spouses, right?
I used to think that was sort of a
flowery.
Let's
get a new one. No, it doesn't work that way.
When people said, oh, the church is your spouse, yeah, okay, that's a flowery kind of term, or I don't know what it means. It's poetic language, blah, blah, blah. But now I realize there are so many parallels, and it's so true. And when you're married to the church in a vocation, and just like what I said, a certain congregation can bring you up, and it can bring you down. Some people in the congregation can bring you up, and some can tear you down.
And, okay, Father, then there's a space for you here anytime you want to.
Indeed.
There's always a space for you here. Because you don't bring me down.
That is very good to know.
Right.
But I'll tell you, there, and I don't know that members of a congregation think so much in that terms, but let me shout it out to you, you know. Take a thermometer, take a pulse of the parish, and oftentimes you can see a congregation bringing down a priest. Some priests may need a little slapping around.
Right.
You know, I'll be the first to admit that, and maybe there are some times when I need slapping around. Mm-hmm. But that, again, that fits the spirit of spousal relationship, you know. But as I'm saying, the person who doesn't stop going to church but has fallen away from church could be because they're not fully on board with the church. There's doubts that creep in. There are real problems with the church. And so I put in my time. I'll go to Mass. I'll even throw in a few bucks in the collection box.
But I'm not present all the time.
But it's not what it was. You've fallen away somewhat. Anyways, the topic that I want to bring to fore in this little precious hour of brain wrinkling winds of change, it applies to both people. I firmly believe the ones who step out and just say not going to church. Versus those who don't stop going to church but pull out spiritually, mentally, emotionally, as it were. And that is this. I just started before I was there. One such figure is Dennis Prager. And another such figure is Jordan Peterson. It's amazing. Two people who are not Catholic, and on several occasions when asking someone who's now back more as a more full Catholic, someone who's back in the game and seeing that I want to be on the team. This Catholic thing is crucial, is beautiful. It's part of the joy. It's part of my life. It's got the answers. We got to make it better. We got to appreciate for what it, all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, talking to a number of people, this has come up a few times, and sometimes I'll say, what are some of the influences that helped you? And these two names come up.
Wow.
Dennis Prager. Oh, I listen to Dennis. I like to think, but part of it is I've told people, oh, you got to listen to Dennis Prager. You know, he's
that's
got
the real
some interesting things, and so maybe one of the influences, Father Tom, who put that idea in their head in the first place, or anybody else for that matter. Though truth be told, Jordan Peterson was doing it before I even knew who Jordan Peterson was who he was. Mm-hmm. So, and here's my little here's the essence of what we got to unpack here for everyone. And I'm so glad you're here, Tony, because
glad to be.
Some of these ideas I come up with, I say, they make perfect sense to me. Right. I know exactly what I'm talking about, but to get from the brain to the mouth to the ears of our listeners, well, you know, that's a different story. And
I'm sure you do this with me and do it with many out there where these thoughts that are yours are now in our heads for the whole day and we're thinking about it. And that's what I have a problem with.
It is.
Not a problem. It's a good thing.
It's a good problem.
Something you think about.
That's
what a brain wrinkling does.
That's what a brain wrinkling hour is all about. So, okay, Nick is going to take us on a break. So you're going to come back, and I got to explain to you, there's three primary focuses that I need us to chew on here, okay? But anyways, we'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyes here with Brain Wrinkling Hour. You know, I could have, for the past couple Wednesdays, I was bringing in, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Now I'm seeing the ads around Chicago.
Look at that.
Jesus Christ Superstar is coming.
He took your idea. That's not good.
Yeah. And we may wind in some of those things because remember something that gets people to think about Jesus Christ is, I'll say, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. However, if you don't understand what Arianism is, please don't go see Jesus Christ Superstar. You must research and understand what Arianism is, or else going to Jesus Christ Superstar will make you a good agnostic, perhaps maybe a good Jewish person, maybe Muslim person, but it won't make you a good Catholic. If you don't, unless you see, Jesus Christ Superstar raises some of these questions, puts more questions in your brain than it gives you answers. And obviously, questions are a very important part of the process of
you're going to need a bigger boat.
You do need a bigger boat, and that boat is the answers to the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get answers to every question? No.
No.
Can you get answers to some of the questions?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
So, anyways, So the question here on the table is, we're analyzing a perception of mine, and that is this. It seems that some non-Catholics are having more success at bringing ex-Catholics back to the church than professional evangelists.
Mm.
Now, when I say professional evangelists, there's a whole different category of people that come to mind. And I'm especially thinking some are I think, much more effective and on the positive side of the ledger. Others are taking up space and
they're
money.
Just taking up space.
They're taking up space in there, and they're taking up a lot of my time because they do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be rehashing what we've been doing for the past 40 years, and they think they're doing something new, or they don't see what I see. What do I see? I see we're doing the same thing that we've been doing for the past 40 years, and we're just saying we got to do more of it, and that's a little frustrating. Okay, so here we go. Here's three aspects of this matter. Number one is... one of the things that people like Dennis Prager and Jordan Peterson are doing, and I want to get a little bit more into something that I brought along, one of the great articles that was sent to me about Jordan Peterson, is that they do wrestle with the moral issues of the day. Jordan Peterson and Dennis Prager are good examples, and there's many others, but wrestling with the moral issues of the day is part of their shtick, shall we say. And in the process of wrestling with the moral issues of the day, folks like these two folks come down on the quote-unquote conservative side of the issue.
Mm.
Marriage issues and even you could throw in gun control, I guess. You could throw in... tax reform, you can throw in dealing with terrorism, whatever. So the first part of this analysis is that I'm putting out to all my listeners, I'm asking them to see a very important connection between wrestling with the moral issues of the day and returning to the faith. Mm. So, well, Why would professional evangelists professional evangelists of the official ecclesiastical kind? Is that a good enough euphemism? Am I ambiguous enough not to get in trouble?
Yes.
Yes. If you think the shoe fits you, then I suppose you could wear it. But I'm just going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
There are many who are. Part of the church, and God, I don't doubt their sincerity for a moment. But I'll say this, that they resist talking about the moral issues of the day. There is a fear of bringing up. First of all, I don't know, Tony, am I blind or am I making something up or do you sense something like this too?
Yes, I do.
Too.
I'm trying to be silent to give you.
There you go. Thank you.
Maybe I shouldn't be the one to be silent because that's exactly some of the things I do see.
Yeah. And jumping, not staying silent on this very issue might put you into the boat that I'm in, and it might be a sinking boat.
It might.
You don't want to. No, we can't believe that. The boat, the rock.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah,
we're going to need
a bigger boat because, or at least a boat without holes in it.
Well, I say this at least. I think it's important to say things. I think it's important to make the observations. I think it's important to. You know, I hate this term, to dialogue about these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, It's something that needs to be said. Let's be honest.
And I think that's a perfect legitimate use of the word dialogue. Mm-hmm. When somebody is of a different moral stance, then dialoguing is very important because the default position in the evangelical world, and by that I don't mean just the evangelical Protestants who belong mm-hmm. to congregations that are sometimes called evangelical, but in the evangelical world, about meaning though all those Catholics that are into evangelizing, mm-hmm. and that should be everybody, but obviously it's not. There are people that take the role more seriously, which I'm glad of, and we want to see more people do that and feel that, but the default mode is to relativize the moral questions of the day. To avoid that, why? People would say, because you have to get to know Jesus first, or get to know Jesus, then the moral issues will follow along. That's the basic wisdom of the day. And I'm saying here today is I'm questioning that basic wisdom of the day. Because sometimes, yes, you will discover Jesus how? Through reading the Bible and reading the stories. Seeing a movie about Jesus helps people discover Jesus. Going to Mass and seeing a picture, you know. There's a lot of ways you could sort of rediscover Jesus.
But how can you really discover Jesus without knowing morals?
I think you're touching something that's so crucial. To me, they come together. Yeah. They are part of the same discovery.
One might say you don't know Jesus if you don't know morals.
Yeah, and a moral insight can bring you to Jesus just as...
A lot quicker than a picture.
Right, exactly. Just like coming to know Jesus will enlighten a moral issue.
Exactly.
A discovery of a strong moral principle can lead you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. They go back and forth, and I gotta confess, I'm a bit frustrated in the way our Catholic Church sometimes is handling these, by poo-pooing or shushing.
Shh, shush, shush. Can't talk about.
Shush, shush. Don't bring that up.
Yeah.
An example comes to my mind. I was at an inter-parish meeting. A few months back, and a wonderful guy was trying to begin a new ministry on marriage ministry. Mm-hmm. And I love the guy for doing something that's a very important topic, and I don't doubt his sincerity at all. But as he was presenting his presentation about what he was going to try to do to get couples together and do marriage ministry, however that's defined. He gave about a 15-minute presentation or so. But as the moral theologian that I try to sometimes fancy I am, I said, you know, that was a great presentation, and I like your the outline of what you're saying, but I noticed that there really isn't anything in there about addressing the issue of artificial contraception and helping people understand what natural family planning is. And of course, his reaction was, well, maybe I shouldn't say, of course. Can you imagine what his reaction would be?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've heard it before, and I'll hear it again. His reaction, and I'll even say this, it's been my reaction. I don't want to throw him under the bus because I've had the same kind of thoughts in the past too. His reaction was, ugh, don't go with that. You can't lead with that. That'll come down the line somewhere along the line, you know. Mm-hmm. First we got to get him warmed up and I know what he's saying but the reaction I had was okay, I'm not going to buy into his program as a pastor. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think, he's going to get a good start, as it were. But I don't like leaders who are so embarrassed about our moral position.
Exactly. It's almost like saying or not telling you the full story, telling you parts of it, and hopefully later on coming in and saying the things that need to be, or not putting the focus on the things that are most important.
Yeah. And to be frightened to bring it up, I guess is what I'm driving at too. If you're in an evangelical, if you're part of a team trying to get people back, and especially if you're part of a team working with marriage couples, and the whole issues that surround Humanae Vitae, that document by Pope Paul VI, of course, that spells out the teachings about the sinfulness of artificial contraception, that is so scary, that is so debated, that is so rejected, that it is just a topic that scares so many in the evangelical world to run for the hills. And I want somebody who sees it as good news. I want someone to see it as a part of God's plan for fixing things. It's not, as it often is, a dirty little secret that, well, you could kind of take it or leave it, as it were. That's what I mean by the people like Dennis Prager and Jordan Peterson. I have no idea. Well, I think I do have some idea about what they think about the topic of Humanae Vitae, namely that they wouldn't be into it. But they're dealing with other moral issues that they are taking a stand on, and perhaps down the line they might open their minds to this. I'll admit it's a deeper and a more challenging topic to see, especially because there's so many hard cases that come to mind for people. But anyways, the moral side of the evangelical process, outreach, whatever, is key. And when it's not, and that's why the difficulty with it is because there's such a connection between the moral issues of the day and the political issues of the day, and that sends even more people running for the hills.
Yeah,
you know. Anyways, I got to come back, and I've only just touched on the first of the three aspects of this crucial question of the day. I'm Father Tom Coyes. Thanks for tuning in. And this is listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And that was just a little commercial there for evangelization revolution.
There you go.
And so I'm talking about evangelization, and I'm trying to find out what's behind a phenomenon that I'm seeing. And the phenomenon that I'm seeing is that there's some non-Catholics having more success at bringing ex-Catholics back to the church than some professional evangelists or people who work in the church that are tasked with the idea of growing the church. But unfortunately, it's not happening as fast as I would like it. And maybe it's all in God's time, you know. That's another thing. We all want to grow the church, or most people want to grow the church, and but we don't know exactly how, and blah, 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 and we could let it slide in a lot of ways. So. Anyways, where was I? I said there's three aspects of this question, and the first, which we just got through trying to analyze, is the moral connection with evangelization, and to ignore it is to ignore it at our peril.
Right.
And I'm trying to say that it is being ignored, wrestling with the moral issues of the day. Because moral issues are tied to political issues, or you could say it the other way around, political issues are tied to moral issues.
Yeah.
And because we're living in the United States of America in the year 2018 and in the modern world, especially in America, you are told over and over again with the threat of being hit over the head with a 2x4 or a lawsuit that you are not to bring your religion into political discussions.
Yep.
So we keep the political out of religion, thereby keeping the moral out of religion, mm-hmm. thereby crippling our evangelical attempts. I should make a poster on that somehow.
That would be a good poster.
Seems to be a little complicated, but if we could keep that in mind. So here's another aspect behind it is why do people like Jordan Peter and Dennis Prager help some ex-Catholics get back to going to church and what have you? There's a distinction between, I'm going to say it this way, people could... A person outside the church or fallen away could discover a truth from many different sources before they make the connection between the truth that they discover and the authority that has been proclaiming that truth for a good long while. See what I'm getting at?
I think so.
Because I think Jordan Peterson is doing this very well in a lot of ways. It's wakening up some, especially young people's minds, and especially college and young adult mm-hmm. type people. And he's hitting with them. Let me pull up this little ditty from him, because he's not using any religious authority. He's a psychologist. He's a clinical psychologist, you know? And so he'll use, well, in this psychological experiment, we discovered this. And here's what conclusions we could make. And so they're drawn into, I'm interested in psychological experiments. This makes a lot of sense. And so they don't expect the conclusion that he's going to come up with. The little aha feeling you get when you discover, I believe that. Yeah, he's right mm-hmm. about that, especially a moral issue or a different kind of issue on human nature. Or that's what this one's going to be. Look at that. Nick has been enlightened.
Right.
I always feel good when that comes along.
He gets it.
Yeah. So,
You just wrinkle my brain, man.
It's wrinkling your brain.
He's so thinking.
Here's Jordan Peterson trying to wrinkle your brain. One of the things that I'm going to say makes sense to some people, mm-hmm. which is a very unpolitically correct thing to promote, is a view about women, which listen to what he says. He says this, this is a note to women. You have obtained power, even equality, even in some cases superiority to your male counterparts. But you have not taken responsibility for reining in your insane sisters. Ooh, there's that is a mouthful. Let me say that. You got to say that again. But you have not taken responsibility for reining in some of your insane sisters. Listen to this, he says, because men cannot do it. Men cannot oppose some pathological feminine positions today because chivalry demands that us men keep our most potent weapons sheathed.
Wow.
That is to say, our sword has right. to be kept in its sheath. And he's saying this to the women. It's up to you. The forces that have provided you with often unhappy freedom have also bred the shrieking cries of unfairness and victimization. Isn't that a mouthful?
Wow.
I would relate to what he's saying in this little insight about men can't do it. That helps me because it comforts a frustration where sometimes just saying things about the feminine issues, whether it is about the right to life or the use of artificial contraception or the difference between male and female psychology mm-hmm. and all the rest. And Lord knows that men and women, we've all walked astray in many right. different ways and sometimes sad, bad ways. But we can't really classify these things or we can't really. He's calling upon wise women to rein in their, what he calls, insane sisters. I'm thinking of like the women who wear the
hats,
pink hats, and go in marches.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
They need to be reined in. Yeah. All those movie stars that are in the front of the movement, as it were. So that's who he's thinking about. I
totally ignore those people because they're just, you know.
Yeah, it's very challenging, but that other sisters might be able to, just that phrase he uses, rein in your insane sisters. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's sending lambs amongst wolves,
right?
You know, but it takes a female lamb to go to the female wolves. If you have a male lamb going to a female wolf, it's still going to be bad for the lamb.
Yeah.
You know, or even if you have a male wolf going mm-hmm. to a female wolf, the female wolf's going to win.
Yeah.
When you're challenging
exactly
issues that touch on feminine spirituality or what have you. I see this as a beautiful insight. You could take this and tie it to the Black
Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter yeah. and racial issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems very similar to white people trying to help correct black people
mm-hmm.
with some of their insane positions.
And you can't do that unless you're black.
You can't
so
do that.
That's the mentality. You can't
yeah.
correct
this. And the issue du jour today. I'm yep. sure you've heard it. They're talking about the Starbucks in Philadelphia,
yeah,
where the three to a black guy sitting in a Starbucks were asked to leave because they didn't buy anything, and the police had to be called, and they were taken away, and now it's a federal case. And I just heard this morning that all Starbucks across the nation are going to be closed, and the CEO of Starbucks is bringing in Eric Holder, the Attorney General under President Obama, to give sensitivity training.
Yeah.
And in that in that sensitivity training, it's going to be train the non-blacks to appreciate the blacks' plight, of course. But there's no equal training being offered to blacks to be trained in the sensitivity to business people.
Why would they? So that's why I don't go to Starbucks, and I won't go to Starbucks after something like this.
Oh, man. I have to confess, I enjoy sitting there and drinking a cup of coffee.
I will not do it anymore.
And I got to think twice or so.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But this insight of Jordan Peterson is right on target. Mm. And when you get a certain truth and that deals with the moral aspect, you say, yeah, maybe there's, I got to reassess my moral position. When you reassess your moral position, you become a little more conservative if you take the conservative side of the moral issue. And then you say, well, going to church is kind of more conservative than not going to church. And maybe I'll go to church. Mm-hmm. And you go step by step, or maybe sometimes it's a jump all in again, either fall off your horse like St. Paul or you wade in. But either way, that moral issue is part of the evangelical return to the faith, as it were. I've heard it too many times to be silent. And so my warning, Will Robinson, has to do with the asking especially our official people in diocesan offices, bishops and pastors. And
danger, Will Robinson. Yes, danger. Yes. No, Will Robinson.
There it is.
Danger.
CCD teachers and all the rest. Don't shy away from trying to help clarify the moral confusion of the day. And as a matter of fact, to change someone, let us pretend that we had somebody who was very pro-choice position. They really believe that abortion rights is just what is very important. And if I were to change somebody for thinking, and then they realize, that's a terrible thing. We gotta bring the country back to a pro-life position. And let us say, in the process, they became, they went back to their Jewish synagogue, or they went to a Protestant church or so. I might say, well, God bless them. I might discuss on a theological level a little bit more about Christology and ecclesiology and angelology and Mariology and what heaven is. It's the other theme. It's been on my mind a lot. To meditate on what heaven is to clarify the moral issues of the day.
That's good.
To know truly what heaven is to help us understand why Catholic Church has so many good moral positions, but we're too darn embarrassed of them, and we hide them because we can't talk about those things until they fall in love with Jesus.
Right.
Now, I don't want anyone not to fall in love with Jesus. Of course I do. Okay, now I got the third aspect of this we got to come back to, but we're going to take another break here, right? Mm-hmm. I'm Father Tom Coase. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Gentlemen, would you like to know what a woman's greatest desire is? I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Women have an open space inside their bodies. It's called the womb. By its very nature, an open space seeks to be filled. A woman's greatest desire, therefore, is to be fulfilled through intimate, meaningful relationship. This is why, gentlemen, women need to actually hear the words, "I love you." Pope John Paul II said that man is the one who loves, and woman is the one who is loved. In the order of creation, it is all about the bride. And men actually become real men by making sure it is all about the bride. This is because men have the same body as Jesus Christ. And for Jesus Christ, it was all about his bride. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Hey, everyone. God bless you. See, Father Thomas Loya gets it.
He gets it.
And those who recognize and see the beauty of theology of the body, and which is John Paul II's, in his own words, you know, the last addition to the theology of the body. If you know what the theology of the body is, mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of series of reflections by Pope John Paul II during his pontificate, and the very last one, he comes right out and says, this whole meditation was to explain Humanae Vitae to a world that rejected it.
Wow.
Boom. It couldn't be more clear. And it took me so, and I'm going along, like, yeah, this is helping understand. This is what we got to clarify. Then at the end, he says it. So so here we are talking about the process of getting people to open their heart and their mind back to going to church and loving Catholicism. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that there's a phenomenon that is sort of, it's sort of strange, but it makes sense to me that there's some non-Catholics who are more effective in bringing ex-Catholics back to the Catholic Church than professional church people. And the first one was this, there's an intrinsic connection between theology and morality. To ignore that connection is to fail at something very important. Second was this, my mind is drifting again.
The authority.
Yes, I'm right. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Gosh. You can discover a truth before you realize the authority behind the truth. Right. And Jordan Peterson, like the example I said in the past break, and showing some light onto the women's issue. And so somebody's like, yeah, he's right. And then he's like, but that sounds like what Catholicism has been saying for a while. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, the pill is part of the problem. The contraceptive pill is part of the problem. And he uses, listen to this little ditty from his psychological experiment where he says, what freed women was the pill. And we'll see how well that works out. It's kind of a little critical question. He says, there's some evidence that women on the pill don't like masculine men because of changes in hormonal balance. And here's the psychological test. This is, I'm sure, what will draw a college student into the issue. See, you can do a test on women's preference in men. You can show them pictures of men and change the jaw width. Oh, no, this is scary. I don't know how wide my jaw is. I'm afraid. You can show pictures of men to women and change the jaw width. And what you find is that women who are not on the pill like wide-jawed men when they're ovulating. And they like narrow jawed men when they're not. And the narrow jawed men are less aggressive. Well, all women on the pill are as if they're not ovulating. So it's possible that a lot of the antipathy that exists right now between men and women exists because of the birth control pill. Holy mackerel, Andy.
I can see that.
Wow.
And
yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's a huge wrinkle in my brain. And so here's Jordan Peterson, not a Catholic, pointing to a position that really would hardly be noted if it wasn't for Pope Paul VI and Humanae Vitae and John Paul II trying to explain. That's why I'm nervous and I'm worried about Pope Francis, who seems to be, on a few occasions he says he's accepting and he agrees with it, but he's on other things he's surrounding it with such confusion that he's not helping clarify. It's a bit like he's playing the role a bit like that person at the parish meeting that we had. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, of course I believe it, but we'll get to that later. Kick it down the road. And speaking of kick it down the road, I got to share this point about Cardinal George, who obviously was cardinal here in Chicago for many years. His third anniversary of his passing just happened yesterday. Today's Wednesday. Yeah, yesterday. And I remember specifically when Cardinal George was named, I was delighted because I knew his name. I knew his name because he was a member of the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars, a group of primary university teachers who organized. Why did they organize? Primarily to form a group of teachers that what? Would rally around the defense of Humanae Vitae when most professors were explaining why it was wrong. So when Cardinal George was appointed to Chicago, I said, "Ooh, he's a part of the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars. The defense of Humanae Vitae is definitely a part of the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars. I'm sure Cardinal George is going to make the defense of Humanae Vitae an important point in the Archdiocese of Chicago." I was wrong because it never happened.
Right.
As a matter of fact, his first letter that he wrote was on racism. Comes to Chicago, sees a divided racial tension and all the rest. And then I thought, okay, well, that's a good first one. That is an issue that could be, and it was a beautiful document. Mm-hmm. But then I was saying, okay, then the next one will be on marriage issues and defense of Humanae Vitae. It never came. It was kicked down the road all his term. And now again, it's going to be kicked down the road a lot more. I hope I'm wrong. But now the third and the last, because we're almost out of time here, the third and the last aspect of this dilemma is holy forgetfulness. The reason why Catholics are so loathed to bring up moral issues is because they know that so many people have immoral pasts, have done bad things.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to bring them up because you want to come across as a holy forgetfulness.
Wow.
Whatever you did in the past doesn't matter.
Only focus on now.
Only focus on now, and let's only focus on the positive. And so we got to come back to that aspect on another time. Well, Tony, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Father.
And thanks all the listeners for being with us. I'm Father Tom Coase. You've been listening to Listener Support, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.